A few weeks back, Daniel asked if I would just kind of share the story of Dat House. A lot of you in here know, I think, more or less, what Dat House is. It's the not-for-profit ministry that I help run on the south side of downtown Indianapolis. But as we spent the month of January kind of laying out our vision for the church through Beloved, Belong, Become, and Be Less, Daniel just asked if I would kind of share about our ministry that I'm involved in, with, and kind of our vision and where we came from, and hopefully we can learn together a little bit how to love our neighbors well. So, most of you may or may not know that the story of Dat House and Meridian Church of God are pretty intertwined. They go back probably all the way to our origins, and I'm going to tell you how. Back in 2006, 11 years ago, I was a freshman at Anderson University, and I was really just being challenged by the Lord as to what was next in my life. And there was another person, a couple in fact, that was also being challenged to see what God had for them in their lives. And I asked them to be here today because they are founders of Dat House, and that's Derek and Laura Abner over here. Derek and Laura have worshipped at Meridian for a long time. I guess that's relative, a long time for people my age. But now Derek and Laura have moved down to southern Indiana, and Laura's actually the youth pastor at Tower Heights Church. Is that right? Okay. But in this same time frame, the Lord was stirring something in me. The Lord was stirring something in the Abners. And in the summer of 2006, we were on staff together here at Meridian, working with Kim with the youth ministry. And God was just, I don't know, God was just doing something there in that summer. We went to an IYC where was that IYC? Anaheim, right? 2006 was Anaheim, where we just were challenged immensely. Derek and I had read and were reading a book called The Irresistible Revolution by Shane Claiborne. And we were also both working construction with this guy over here, Alan Figge. And all of those things were just putting something together that none of us expected. We wanted to do life differently, and we didn't know how. We saw the model of the early church, how they met together daily, how they shared what they had, and there was just something so inspiring about that. We saw folks doing stuff similarly to that, which is where the book by Shane Claiborne comes in. He is also does inner city ministry in Philadelphia, and he had been doing it at that time for 10 years. And he wrote a book about it called The Irresistible Revolution, which I find particularly interesting as I reflect on that now, being that we have now been doing Dat House for 10 years. And so I think, I feel like, man, Shane learned a lot more in 10 years than we did. I feel like we're just getting started. I don't even know. But there are some people with whom we have cried with and laughed with and dreamed together, and we still do to this day. And so that verse is just so powerful to us that Jesus looked to his disciples and said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. You see, that's the incarnation of Christ, that he has become one of us, that he moves in, as Hebrews says, that he's able to sympathize with our needs because he knows us and he loves us. And that's what we hoped for. Another quote from Shane's book is that Jesus did not set up a program, but modeled a way of living that incarnated the reign of God, a community in which people are reconciled and our debts are forgiven, just as we forgive our debtors. We realized quickly when we moved into the neighborhood that our neighbors could help us as much as we could help them. that there was some sort of life in poverty that we hadn't experienced before. There was some sort of community that was beautiful. Probably any of you who have been on a missions trip to some foreign country have experienced this in some way. You see the joy and the hope amongst people that have nothing. And you just ask yourself, how is this so? And it's because of the gift of community. In fact, this is the gift of the church, that we have hope in Jesus and that we have hope within each other, that when we support each other, when we give to each other, when we forgive others' debts in as much as we are forgiven of ourselves, that's powerful. So all these things happened, and we moved into this community with absolutely no idea what we were getting into, really no idea of what we intended to do. We did not have an agenda, but we simply wanted to love our neighbors. So like I said, that all happened in 2006. We felt this call. We moved on it in the power of the Spirit, I believe. And in October of 2006, Derek and Laura bought the house. And I don't believe that they moved in until the beginning of 2007. But in 2007, Dat House was born. Now, Dat House is kind of a funny name. For those of you who don't know, Dat House is an acronym. It also just sounds cool, right? Where are you going? I'm going to Dat House. You know, like. But it actually means something. Dat House is an acronym. The D-A-T stand for three Greek words from the New Testament. Doulos means servant. Agape is love. And then tape nao is humility. And so those are kind of the core values that we decided this is what we want to be about. We want to be servants who love and just are humble. You know, we don't show up acting like we have it all together or have all the answers. But another core value that we never really wrote it into our text, I guess, or whatever. But another core value, especially at the beginning, and even still to this day, was simplicity. We really wanted to live simply so that we could love and care for our neighbors more. So especially at the beginning, all of us worked very part-time. We all lived together. At the beginning, we all lived in that one house together. Seven of us lived in a house, and we worked part-time so that we could spend more time in our community. We did all sorts of things to live simply, and so that we didn't need much, and so that we could give more of our time to our neighbors. So although myself and Jenny were kind of in the picture from the beginning, we didn't actually move down until 2009 when I graduated from Anderson. We had helped here and there, and we would come visit and whatnot. But in 2009, Jenny and I moved into the Dat House community and began to transition our lives into our neighborhood. We didn't know this at the time, but we later found out that our neighborhood has a name. Our neighborhood is called Bates Hendricks, and it's really interesting to think about where our neighborhood is now compared to where it was back in 2006. But that's an extended version of the story that you can hear some other time. In 2010, we decided that there were a lot of people giving to Dat House, and we were kind of starting to do some stuff. We had started an after-school program. We started and failed at an after-school program in the spring of 2010, and it was, oh man, it was crazy. We just decided to open up our house to these kids, and they just overwhelmed us, and we were all working and trying to run the program, and it was a big mess. But we learned later how to better do the after-school program. We actually still run an after-school program to this day at the Lincoln Center. But anyway, we decided because of all these things that we needed to become incorporated, which to us was like death. We had no desire, really, to do this. But we felt like in order to be good stewards of what God had given us, there was just no other choice. People were giving us money, and we were just putting it in our own bank accounts and trying to keep track of spending it on things for the neighborhood, and it was a big mess. So we took a leap of faith, and thanks to a bunch of people, including a man named Rick Hall from Anderson, we got it done. We filed, and we officially became a 501c3 not-for-profit. We became super fancy, and and so we were able to then better track and also raise more money to do more things for our community. It was in 2010, that same year, that we kind of first established like a mission statement, if you will. You know, at first we were just, you know, servant love humility, and we're just going to love people however we can in that way. But in 2010, we decided that we were going to be a little bit more specific. And we decided that our purpose for Dat House, and this is still the same to this day, is to be good neighbors, to impact young people, and to encourage Christian community development in our neighborhood. And so that's kind of the three main focuses of what we do in our neighborhood. Also in 2010, as I reflected, 2010 was a crazy year for us, we began to do affordable housing. And this was a huge step for us that we would have never expected to get where it's got now. But in 2010, we were meeting with some neighbors. And like I said, when we started, we just wanted to be good neighbors, and we just wanted to listen really well. And one of the things we found out is that people were paying, low-income families were paying quite a bit of rent for houses that were not in good shape in our community. On top of that, there were tons of abandoned houses in our neighborhood. An estimated about 200 houses in our neighborhood were abandoned. And so with our knowledge of construction that we gained from Alan Figge, and with our desire to be a part of our community, we said, hey, let's get after this. Let's try to help people with affordable housing. So it was 2010 that we bought our first house. We started working on it, and boy, that's also a long story that we don't have time for in this version. But something that we really wanted to work on was to help people find affordable housing. And that all started in 2010. And we're still working on that to this day. And it's getting more complicated because, as I kind of alluded to before, our neighborhood's changed a lot and affordable housing is becoming less and less affordable. So then we did affordable housing and some other stuff for a few years, and then the big one happened. Near the middle of 2011, we were working with a group of neighbors in our community. I can't stress this enough, that this was not initiated by us. A group of neighbors had decided that there was this strip club in the middle of our community that just had to go. It was a center for crime. There was horrible stuff happening there. And it just couldn't stand in our neighborhood anymore. So a group of our neighbors had already started this process, and we decided we were going to jump in with them and help them any way we could. And so we got on board, and it is very, very unlikely to get any kind of a bar or a strip club or anything shut down in the city, in any city, I imagine. But I only know about Indianapolis, because the city actually gains about $30,000 a year from taxes, from bars and strip clubs and such. And so they almost never revoke their liquor license, which that was the path we decided to go. But we went to the courts and we stood with our neighbors. That's when Derek and I learned what the word remonstrate means. We had no idea that that was a word. I remember sitting in court and the clerk said, "Are there any remonstrators present?" And we just looked at each other like, "Is that us?" And then we saw our neighbors stand, and we were like, "Oh, that's us." It was really funny. But praise be to God that it worked. We got the strip club shut down. And then one of our biggest partners, which is Church at the Crossing, had kind of heard about this story, and they said, "Hey, what if that was a community center?" And we said, "Yeah, that would be awesome." And in fact, we had done a survey in our neighborhood that year and asked if our neighbors thought that a community center would be a good thing for our neighborhood. And 100% everybody unanimously said, "Yeah, definitely a small community center would be awesome." So we were thinking, you know, maybe in 5 years, when we're a little more well-established, we'll try to create a community center, which that's now. This is 5 years from then. That's weird to think about. Crazy. But like I said, Church of the Crossing said, hey, we want to partner with you and we want to make this happen. And so with the help of them and with some other donors and tons of volunteers, in February of 2012, we bought a strip club. And it's not something that you usually call home to mom about and say, Mom, guess what? But we did. But we did. And we were so thankful that we were able, and we are able now, to bring light where there was once darkness. That we can bring hope where before the hopeless went. And we can bring life where there was death. And so we bought it in February of 2012. That's a super long story, too. It was a crazy switcheroo, and we had to be pretty on the spot. And then we found out all about what the Department of Code Enforcement is like. And they're wonderful people. and they just really will help you with anything. It took us 2.5 years after that point to gut it, to clean it out. At one point, we tore a whole corner of the building off. And it took us 2.5 years to get open. But finally, in the fall, in September of 2014, we opened and we renamed it the Lincoln Center. And so, again, we were so thrilled to be able to provide this community center in the middle of our neighborhood where once there was no hope. Now we're bringing hope to folks, and it's wonderful. I want to tell you a little bit about the community center. The community center is our main focus now, and we do a ton of stuff there. One of our best programs, which is funny to think about our history, but one of our best programs is our after-school program. We started off rough with it, but we figured it out over time, and we're definitely still learning. But we run an after-school program for the kids at IPS School 31, and we run it 4 days a week all throughout the school year. And it's wonderful. We have such a mixed bag of kids. It's great. If anybody loves kids and wants to spend some time with them, we're always looking for more people to come and love on our after-school kids. So that's one of the things we do. We've started community meals. We've started a parent support group for the kids, or for the parents, for kids at School 31. We've done a ton of stuff. And because we kept doing more and more and more, we decided at the beginning of 2016, just this last year, that we had to hire a staff because it was no longer feasible to run it volunteer-based. There was just too much going on. And so in January of 2016, I actually became the director of the Lincoln Center. So that's what I do. A lot of you may not have known that, but I run the Lincoln Center 5 days a week, pretty much. And I'm the one who has to go out and get volunteers and do all that stuff. And it is just, it's a blast. It's a lot of work, but I love it. And so we also hired a facilities caretaker, one of our brothers. We call him Curly because he's got long blonde curly hair. So if you ever come to the Lincoln Center, you'll say, oh, that must be Curly. Because it's funny, one of our bookkeepers came once and they were helping us with some stuff. And she was like, okay, well, I got this, but who's Ricky? Because Ricky is Curly's actual name. And she was like, I don't know Ricky. And I was like, well, that's Curly. She's like, she thought we had more people working for us than we actually did. She's like, we got Ricky and Curly and no, and Mo? No. Anyway, so we hired a staff, and so that's where we are now. And we're running the Lincoln Center. We're still trying to help with affordable housing. We're partnering with our local elementary school more and more. And all of that was birthed because we just wanted to love our neighbors. And we wanted to do so on a consistent basis. It was really important for us to be in the community where we were serving. And so that's why, you know, we still to this day live in the community. Pretty much everybody who works with the Lincoln Center on a regular basis is from our community. Ginny and I, we live just two blocks away from the community center. And so that's something that we're just really passionate about. And then last but not least, the last thing that we have started is Lincoln Lane Coffee, which if you've seen our signs out there, that's the coffee we serve here now. We really wanted the community center to move towards a model of being able to sustain itself, and we really want business, we really want businesses to come into our neighborhood to help provide jobs for our communities. So we're really trying to think as entrepreneurs, even though I am not an entrepreneur as much as I want to be. but we really want to have businesses that come and that employ people from our community so that we can continue to build the health and wellness of our community. And so we decided, hey, we're gonna be pioneers for this. And there aren't many businesses in our neighborhood, but we said, hey, we want to be on the forefront of this, and we love coffee, so let's just do it. And so in November, we actually opened the coffee shop. So if you're ever near downtown and you're hankering for a cup of coffee, come on by Lincoln Lane. We'd love to have you. And so that added to actually more staff that we then hired. So there's a lot going on at the Lincoln Center. But I tell you all that to say this. Things look a lot different with that house, with our neighborhood, in 2017 than they did in 2007. But one very important thing is still the same, is that we long to be in community with the people that we serve, and we acknowledge that the people that we serve can teach us just as much as we can teach them. And that's so important to us. That is just at the core of who we are, because it's true. We may have some sort of knowledge. Maybe it's about God or about the scriptures or about emotional health that they don't have. But everybody has something to contribute. And that's what the church is all about. We all have needs and we all have assets. Several years back, I don't remember when, maybe 11 or 12, we launched a website. Maybe it was longer ago than that. I don't know. We launched a website, a WordPress, which now you can just find at dathouse.org because technology's cool. I don't know how it works. But when we very first, pretty much near the beginning of when we launched that website, Derek wrote a little blurb about who Dat House is. And it's just as true today as it was when he wrote it. So I'm just going to read it for you. Dat House is an attempt of feeble people to allow a loving, merciful, almighty, and mysterious God to live in and through us. We don't always know how, but we are here. And we plan on loving the hell out of people as Jesus has done and is doing for us. That's our goal. And what I think is so wonderful about that is that the mission of Dat House, it's really no different than our mission. That we're here, that we want to be a part of our community. We want to be loved. We want to belong. We want to become who God has created us to be. And so that's my challenge today. As I've shared a little bit about who we are, something that we always tell, whenever we go out and speak and kind of give the spiel about who Dat House is and what we do, we always come back to this, is that if you want to come and love our neighbors, that's fine. We will welcome it. But the reality is you can never love our neighbors as well as we can love our neighbors, because we're there. We're here. We're up present. We're amongst them every day. But guess what? You all have neighbors like that too. And so our hope for anybody that we share our story with is that you will see some of the ways that we've loved our neighbors, some of the ways we've failed at our neighbors, at loving our neighbors. Maybe you can learn from those. We certainly hope we are. But our hope is that that will challenge each of us to go and love our neighbors better. I have neighbors on my street that I don't even know their names. And I stand up here and I say all this stuff, like that we've done some awesome things. But when I stop and think about that, it bothers me. And I'm sure that's true for most of us here, because it's hard. And you know what's even harder? It's hard to love your neighbor if you don't know your neighbor. And so maybe that's a first step for us. And I feel challenged by that just as much as the rest of us. Again, at Debt House, we feel like we're just feeble people trying to make a difference. We're no better than anybody else. Lord knows that. Like I just told you, I have probably half of my neighbors on my own street. I don't even know. But it's the simple charge that I said at the beginning from Jesus that compels us. The simple call that he called the greatest commandment. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Our hope is that each of us, wherever we find ourselves on a daily basis, will take time to creatively and intentionally love our neighbors just as Christ has loved us. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you so much for the gift of Jesus. God, we thank you that he no longer calls us servants, but he calls us friends. That we, along with Christ, are your sons and daughters. And God, we know that your heart burns for all of our neighbors in the same way that it burns for us. That you desire for others to know who you are, to experience that love. And God, you've called us, the church, to be your hands and feet, to show that love to the world. Just as you sent Christ to be an example, you also have sent the church to be an example of who you are and who you've called us to be. God, I hope that we can be challenged this morning to just, maybe there's just that one neighbor that we've always kind of wondered about, but we don't really know. Or maybe there's a neighbor that we know who's struggling with something that we know that we can help in some way. God, we know that we can't help everyone. God, I know that I can't love the neighbors of all the folks in this room as well as they can, just in the same way that they can't love my neighbors as well as I can. So God, I ask that we would be present where we are, that we would seek out ways to love creatively and intentionally. And God, we ask that your kingdom would come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.